I say it's good to be back after some travels. For your information, the proposed Bible Center in Perth is halfway to completion. Why do I mention this? Because it will eventually, in the future, become a stopping place for you. Those members who are going to travel to Perth, you may find a home welcoming you in this beautiful lakeside, Eden by the lake. Also, 21st century, second coming Bible Center of Australia. So that is my announcement to you. Please pray for it. Pray that it will become a great Bible Center where the Word of God will be held forth for those who seek. Now I urge you to please turn to Judges chapter 20. Judges chapter 20. What Elder Fung has read is the setting. Now the fighting. You have read about the preliminaries, now the action. Judges 20, verse 18. And see as the drama unfolds, the sadness of brothers fighting brothers. Verse 18. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the children of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people of the men of Israel encouraged themselves and set the battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array in the first day. Verse 24, and the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day. And the children of Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. Then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until even and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days. And the children inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thine hand. And the children of Israel set liers in wait. About Gibeah. And the children of Israel went up against the children of Benjamin on the third day and put themselves in array against Gibeah as at other times. And the children of Benjamin went up out against the people and were drawn away from the city and began to smite of the people and kill as at other times in the highways, of which one goeth up to the house of God and the other to Gibeah in the field, about 30 men of Israel. Verse 34. And they came against Gibeah, 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and the battle was sore. But they knew not that evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel. And the children of Israel destroyed of Benjamin that day 25,000 and 100 men. All these drew the sword. Now we come to the conclusion, verse 46. So that all which fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. All these were men of valor, but 600 men turned and fled into the wilderness under the rock Rimmon, and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. And the men of Israel turned again upon the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, as well as the men of every city, as the beast, and all that came to hand. Also they set on fire all the cities that they came to. Amen. God bless the reading of His holy, infallible, inerrant word. You say, why did God record all these tragic events? What for? Answer, for our learning. The examples and the sadness, the sorrow, and the aftermath of civil war, of fratricidal conflict. You add up the figures. Do you know how many people died in the 3 days of battle? 65,000. Oh dear, what happened to them? Brothers fighting brothers. Let us pause for a moment and think. Of all relationships, what is closer than that of brother and brother or sister and sister? And yet, this kind of conflict is not uncommon. Why? The Word of God in James says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? How come? Why don't brothers love brothers instead of kill brothers? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? God's word is perfect. God's word is instructive. Men fight each other because of the lusts that lustful inflame spirit. Did you ever feel hot under the collar? Wanting to get even? The violent temper, boiling anger. Where did they come from? He said, oh, my father gave it to me. He said, please don't blame father. Especially when father is not to answer back. He's gone. Dear friends, that carnal spirit we all inherit from Adam. And the tempter, the serpent who caused Adam to fall, caused us to continue to fall. So don't blame anyone else except yourself, your carnal self, the pride in us, and the tempter who comes in and takes advantage of that carnal pride. The proud, angry spirit, seething with self, is in every man. Do you recognize that? All of us. No matter how calm, suddenly the most calm and controlled person can lose his head. So all these come from the master deceiver. We must recognize this. Why do I say this? Why? The Lord says, watch and pray. The tempter is very near. And if you do not watch and pray and be aware that this master of lies, father of lies, is there wanting to trip you, to cause you to stumble because of your pride. How can we solve this matter of killing one another? You say, I don't kill. But they say, if looks can kill, I think we've killed many people, most of us, you see. So look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. How that we may learn from God's word. The Lord Jesus says in verse 21, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But now comes the teaching for today. You say, I don't kill, but the Lord says, you do. Verse 22, I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without the cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, you fool, shall be in danger of the council. Verse 23. Therefore, now here is the application for us this morning. The Lord knows all that will happen to us, those who go to church and then go home and fight. The Lord says, wait a minute. Therefore, verse 23, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go home first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Isn't that great? Wonderful teaching. How can we come and worship God and say, Lord, I love you? Isn't that what we say? Why do we come this morning? To worship. Worship means what? We love God. We adore Him. We obey Him. And then in the heart there's a big heavy lump there, that grudge and the anger against someone else, a brother or sister. The Lord says, your worship is not accepted. Yes. No matter what you do, no matter how much you offer, no matter how many prayers you say, no matter how much Bible you read, you come here with a heart of a grudge and anger and an unforgiving spirit. That is something we ought to watch out against. The Word of God says, you say you love God. How can it be? If the brother you see, you don't love. How can you love the God you don't see? How? So let's be very reasonable. The Word of God is so powerful. It says, look, if you do not love your brother whom you see, who is in need of your affection, in need of your word of gentleness and graciousness to say, brother, maybe I have offended you. The most difficult words to say, you know, most difficult. But the most gracious and the most blessed words you can say is to go to the brother and say, I am sorry. I have offended you. Maybe I've hurt you. Please forgive me. And the whole thing is removed. Isn't that so? Then come to worship. That worship will be acceptable. Beware of the spirit of Cain. Who was Cain? Do you remember? The first human birth on earth was that of Cain. And he became the first murderer. How sad that the fallen nature of man within the first generation brought forth anger, murder. What for? Why did Cain kill Abel? Why? Again, this is ought to be common knowledge. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God was pleased with his offering, but God did not accept the offering of Cain because it was not according to his commandment. God had not respect unto Cain, and Cain fell into a violent temper against God, against brother, and killed Abel. Can you imagine it?
And yet it is true. God's word records for us, again I say, for our instruction, that you don't get angry with a brother for nothing. And if you do get angry because some good cause, there must be a limit. And there must be a time when you examine yourselves and ask yourself, perhaps I'm to blame. And don't do to the brother the thing that you do not want him to do to you. Luke 6:31, as you would that others should do to you, do to them likewise. So that we must always think back before the anger flares up into violence. And violence becomes a long-standing grudge. All these things ought not so to be. So I say, let's learn again from the example of Cain. Cain's horrible act. Why did he do it? Let's pause a moment and examine the case of Cain. For it could have been you, right? We all have the spirit of Cain in us, more or less. Cain was hurt. Was he hurt? Yes. He was hurt because of his own sin. Not anyone caused him to be hurt. He hurt himself. His ego was hurt. And God spoke gently to him. Cain, why are you angry? It's your own fault. Listen, if you continue to be in this bad spirit, sin lies at your door. Don't be angry, is the implication. But instead of repenting, Cain rebuffed God's kindness, assumed the authority over God, and killed Abel. I suppose in his heart he thought, I will get even with you. For it's you. You caused me to show up. My shortcoming is you. You caused me to be hurt. Therefore, I kill you. Dear friends, let's think and consider. A brother. Who is a brother? Who is a sister? I remember from my youngest day, Father taught us we had 8 brothers and sisters. Those days, that was the proper family planning, only 8. Those who didn't plan would be 16. 8 of us, of course, large family, happy family. But I never forget the teaching of my father. You children are to each other as hand and foot. So zu. Is that correct in Mandarin? So zu. You are hand and foot. Did anyone see a hand slap the foot? Or the foot kick the hand? No. Then you should apply it. Love one another. Care one for another. Be affectionate, considerate. This is the meaning. Now, if that applies to a family, it must also apply beyond family. How we should regard one another, you see? In the family, how should we regard one another? Here, there's my brother, my sister. Who are you? You are another offspring of my father and mother, right? My father and mother gave birth to you. Therefore, that link is very close. We call this a blood bond. Flesh and blood. And my father and mother surely loves you too, don't they? Of course. Therefore, if the ones who love me so much also love you so much, by inference, I must also love you, because if I don't, I hurt my parents. Is that good logic? Oh, this is Bible teaching. We all belong to parents, and therefore we come out of the same nest. We must love one another. So I say again, we must not play a double game. I love God, but I cannot love my brother. I cannot forgive him. Impossible, impossible. Then the Lord says, please, think carefully.
If God were to deal with us according to our iniquities and our shortcomings, where would we stand? Where? So when we remember that, I think it is best we all consider to love our brothers. Therefore, all of us can say we are our brother's keeper. Remember what Cain said. When God says, Cain, where is your brother? Cain says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? After all, who is he? Why should I bother? Why should I care? We ought to. We ought to care. We ought to bother. Everyone who is related to us, then we open the field further apart, further beyond the family circle. The immediate family, of course, brothers and sisters. How about the universal family? Are we related? How can you be related to me? Are you? Answer? You turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 26. Here, the Apostle Paul was speaking to the people in Athens, and he was quoting in verse 26, how that God hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. All right? How did all the nations come? Answer is here. God hath made of one blood all nations of men. All of us trace backward. Go back to where? Noah's ark. Noah and his three sons. Trace further backward to where? Adam and Eve. All of us will trace right back there. Therefore, we all came from the same parentage. So, Paul was speaking to the people in Athens. Don't you think you are different? Oh, they had all kinds of folklore and fairy tales. The Athenians, they were special people. They have dropped down from some planet and through some deity, and now they are special people, the Greeks. Paul says, no, we all are one blood. God made us all, and all of us are fallen. All of us are sinners. All of us need a Savior. So, we all are of one blood. All nations. In Him we live and move and have our being, for we all are the offspring of God, and therefore we are brothers. Our Lord gives us two commandments, how we ought to relate firstly to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's number one. Now the second follows it. For if you believe the first, you must believe the second. The Lord says, love thy neighbor as thyself. You can change the word neighbor to brother. Thou shalt love thy brother as thyself. So that everyone, every human being to me is as a brother. I should therefore regard him in that sense of a common parentage. That widens our scope very much, isn't it so? How to love all with the same love that God loves them, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son for the world, for all the people, regardless of race or color. So, we have the chorus, black and yellow, red and white, all are precious in His sight, all men are precious in His sight. Now we come to the particular application of today's message to the church. So far, I've talked of the family relationship, the greater human family relationship. Now, within this small group, within the church, how do we apply this lesson of brothers fighting brothers, brothers killing brothers?
Is there a formula, instruction from God's word, how we should relate one to another in the church? Recently, I was speaking with one of our churches, and I was told, I said, how's the church? Is it at peace? Yes, but peace of a kind. There is Cold War. Certain people will not talk to certain people. Cold War. That ought not to be. Again, I say, if you have a conflict, a grudge, a problem against a brother or sister, and you come to church and sing praises to God, but in the heart you bear a grudge, that is not acceptable to God. God's word has precious lessons for us, how we ought not to be in the church and behave like enemies. Brothers fighting brothers should never be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now this passage has particular application to the church. That is to you and to me. The word of God says, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are still one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, even as we saw this morning on stage. All of them were baptized into the body of Jesus Christ by the same Holy Spirit. It is not the work of man, neither is it the work of the water, but the Holy Spirit has baptized you into the body of Jesus Christ. Now follow very closely, because when you understand this great truth, this fundamental fact of theology, you're going to regard one another in a very different light. So, whether you are Jew or Gentile, whether be born or free, in those days there were those who were slaves in the house, and have been all made to drink in one spirit. What do you mean by drink in one spirit? The Holy Spirit comes to you with life-giving water, as it were, to give you life. Whose life? The Christ's life, Jesus' life, God's life. These are figurative terms. When we come to Jesus and confess Him as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives us that life-giving water. You drink it in. What do you receive, therefore? Life. Christ's life. So we all are alive in Christ. We all are living as Jesus Christ's disciples. We ought to behave as such. Verse 14. Now the body is not one member, but many members. Right? We have eyes and ears, nose, lips, tongues, and fingers and toes, hands and feet, and all the other parts of the body. Verse 15. Now, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Yes, someone doesn't like somebody. Therefore, I don't come to church. I feel unhappy to come. That ought not to be. Verse 16. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were one eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were ears, where were the smelling? This is to tell us what? I need you, you need me. We all need one another. No one is dispensable. Everyone is part of that body. Whose body? The Lord Jesus Christ. All of us together fitting into our respective roles. Make up the complete body, and Jesus Christ is our head. So in that way, we all can function. Everyone working in harmony with everyone else. What a beautiful picture it is, isn't it? Verse 18. But now, God has set members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased Him. God is in charge in this church, please understand. The Lord is in charge. We only carry out His instructions from His book, the Bible. And He has placed all of us in certain positions, whether Sunday school teacher, or session member, or youth fellowship leader. We all have a place. We all have a role to play, a part to play. All of us are important. No one is more important or less important. In the eyes of God, everyone is needful. Everyone is essential. This is the whole point of this lesson today. So I say, let none here feel inferior. You're not inferior. Let none say, well, I'm only traveling along. No. We all are contributing to the cause of Jesus Christ, to the body of Jesus Christ. Everyone has a role. Who put you there? It says here, verse 18. Now, God has set every member in the body as it pleased Him. The Lord has put you, He says, well, I'm a member. That's right. You're a member. God put you there to be a member. A church is not complete without members. Ordinary members? Yes. Praying members? Yes. Coming to pray. Coming to serve the Lord. Coming to Sunset Gospel Hour. That's your role. Your role. Your duty. Your pleasure. Your blessing. To come. Not just morning. Or coming in the evening. Why? Because we are part of the body. How can the body be complete when only the session attends Sunset Gospel Hour? You see the point? That's why I say I urge you to come tonight. Don't say, well, too busy. Now in Singapore, we don't have enough time. I say, please, whether you're in Singapore or in Malaysia or Australia, you have 24 hours also. I have 24 hours. Nobody has less time. So please, it's not a question of time. It's a question of understanding the will of God. It is the will of God. All of us as members fulfill our role as members. Come to the world, to worship service in the evening, for it is still the Lord's day. It's your blessing. Come tonight. Verse 19. For if they were all one member, where were the body? How can it make the body? The body is not a large foot and nothing else. The body has got many parts. To make the perfect and complete body, that's what we are. Verse 20. Now are they many members, and yet one body. Praise the Lord. You see, the session, elders, deacons, committee members of all the fellowships, all the groups, Bible study groups, even evangelistic band and so on, and then all the members together. What a beautiful church it is. Now for our concluding lesson. Verse 25. There should be no schism in the body. There should be no division. There should be no clique formation. Oh, it is a sad word to have to use in the church. Say, there are cliques in this church. That let none join any clique. Let there be just one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. All acknowledging the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone striving to please the head. This is the whole idea of this lesson today. Brothers against brothers. How could it be? Why should it be? And yet it happens. Cold war in the church. People don't talk one to another. Why should it be? Verse 25 again. There should be no clique formation or schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one of another. I read this again for you so that you will remember it. The members should have the same care
one of another. Don't say, well, it is the deacons and the elders who should do visitation of the sick. It's not for me. Why not? Why not? I'm told that this church is so big that it is impossible for everybody to know everybody else. Correct? Yes. Unfortunately so. I cannot know everybody, and everybody cannot know everybody else. But I'm just one body, you say. But that one body is important. And I cannot do everything, but I can do one thing. Right? And the thing that I can do, let me do. Visitation, I go visit. Don't say I've never done visitation. Go and visit a brother who is sick and pray with him. And you become like an angel to that person today, maybe tomorrow. Let's have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, what happens? All the members suffer with it. Someone is bedridden. Do you feel for that somebody? Go, become like an angel to him. One member be honored, all the members rejoice. Verse 27, now, application, you are the body of Christ. What a blessed privilege. Do you know? Now you are part of the body of Christ. And if the head owns you, the Lord Jesus recognizes you, confesses you, knows you by name. What a blessed privilege. And he does it to all the members of that one body. How should we relate one to another? How should the right hand treat the left hand? How should the hand treat the foot? And so on. It becomes very clear. In the church, there must not be any kind of strife. It ought not to be. Verse 27, as we conclude. Now, brethren and sisters at Calvary Bible Presbyterian Church, you are the body of Christ. You and I, all of us are members in particular belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let there be no unhappiness one with another. Let there be no unforgiving spirit. Let there be no strife. But because we have received from God our Father so great a love and compassion, let us show it one to another. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that today thy word will impress upon us that we are but sinners saved by grace and grafted, joined to the body of the Lord Jesus, and to become his church, the chosen bride, whom the Lord has bought with his own blood. Lord, teach us how we may love one another as brethren and sisters. For all of us have been bought with a price, even the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, may we remember constantly the Lord's instruction that a new commandment I leave with you, that as I have loved you, you ought to love one another, and that all men shall know that we are your disciples because we have loved one for another. Therefore, Lord, help us that we all will from today love one another as we love thee. This is our prayer in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.